The custom is to pause a moment for silent prayer before we begin. This will afford you the opportunity for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we are again challenged by the Word, and it is our prayer the Holy Spirit would take the portion we're about to study this evening, amplified within our souls, so that it might contribute to our continued pursuit of truth and our advance within your plan. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are in a formal study of the doctrine of divine decrees, and the reason that I opted to do that at this time is, first of all, we're here. And secondly, in the near future, we will be noting the doctrinal rationales of the second stage of the faith rest drill. So why not now? So we've decided to do our formal study so that when it comes time to reference the rationales, all we'll have to do is just mention a few pertinent points and then move on to the next one. And so in this doctrine, we've noted now two paragraphs. The first one was one that covered the definition, and the second was the analogy of the computer, and this is an illustration in order to teach us the instantaneous decree which occurred in eternity past, but which explains how we can view it in its increments and thereby get a better understanding of how all of this works and then what it means to us as believers. Tonight we engage paragraph 3, which is the decree itself. First of all, the cause of some of the events in the divine decrees is human volition. And I put it that way because obviously there's a sovereignty of Godship, and human volition has nothing to do with that. So some of the decisions which are entered into the divine decrees are caused by human volition. Point 2, your decisions were perceived by divine omniscience, and God wrote them into your prom chip. Now remember, the prom chip is created and then may be programmed once, and your volition is what determines that. But God the Father is the one who perceives in advance what your decisions will be and then writes those decisions in the prom chip of the computer. The reason this is important for you to understand is that God knew in eternity past your thoughts, decisions, and actions. And since you are a believer in Jesus Christ, He constructed a perfect plan for your life. And that perfect plan takes into account all of your bad decisions as well as your good decisions. And that takes us to one of the major promises that you can claim in stage 1. God works all things together for good for those who love Him. And the working together of all things includes the fact that He knows all of your thoughts, decisions, and actions, and in the end, for those who love Him, there is great prosperity, blessing, and reward. So the fact that God knows all of these things and can construct a perfect plan for each one of us is not only an awesome concept, but should be humbling as well. And so your decisions were perceived by divine omniscience, and God wrote them into your prom chip. Point 3, remember that the entering of data into a prom chip occurs after the chip is manufactured. Now, there's two ways to look at this. When is your chip manufactured? Well, God understood your thought process in eternity past, and therefore, we can say that the chip was manufactured back in eternity past and etched by omniscience. But it also can be viewed from the human viewpoint, or standpoint, I should say, and that is where soul life is imputed to biological life, creating human life. And one of the attributes of the soul is volition. And volition really constitutes the source of programming your chip. And so the chip, in essence, as far as human standpoint is concerned, the chip was manufactured at your physical birth, your human life. And your volition became active at that point. It was a part of the soul imputation. And your volition begins to program your very own chip. Now, we can therefore look at it now from the divine viewpoint. In eternity past, God's omniscience was able to look into human history and therefore analyze your volition, its decision-making processes, and chronologically line up all the decisions you make, take that knowledge and insert it into your prom chip in the divine decrees. Point three brings into view the human standpoint of all of this. The entering of data in the prom chip occurs after the chip is manufactured. For you, that would be after physical birth, before physical death. Point four. This means that each decision you make was written into your prom chip in eternity past. You make the decisions in time. God wrote the data in eternity past. And that's important for you to understand that everything you do was known by God before you did it. And there's a solution for the problems that you create for yourself if you're a believer. The unbeliever, as you well know, has no solution. They have human viewpoint available to them. They have human good and evil available to make them feel better about the fact they have no hope. But other than that, there are no solutions for the unbeliever. And so the decisions you make as a believer were in your prom chip in eternity past. However, five, God does not wait until the events of human history transpire in order to write data into your chip. Now, you do the programming that omniscience observes, but omniscience is able to observe this in eternity past and program the chip ahead of time. Six, the omniscience of God wrote your thoughts, decisions, and actions into your prom chip in eternity past by means of omniscience. God knows all that is knowable. The omniscience of God wrote your thoughts, decisions, and actions into your prom chip in eternity past by means of omniscience. Seven, in the case of every free will act, the decree provides the following. I'm going to give you five things that occur as far as the decrees that are concerned regarding every free will act in the human race. Number one, the agent shall be a free agent. Keep in mind as we note these five things that you are the person under discussion here. You should view these five points personally and place yourself under the scrutiny of God in eternity past and then relate in your own mind how God deals with all of your decisions. The agent, that's us, shall be a free agent. At physical birth, you were selected for human life by the imputation of soul life, and that contained free will. And we noted that just a moment ago. There is the emergence of biological life from the womb of any given mother, but that does not constitute human life. There is a process called selection. Soul life is created and imputed to biological life. And selection is that process. And if God doesn't select the individual through the creation of soul life and its subsequent imputation to biological life, then selection does not occur. Now, when selection occurs, that creates human life. There is no human life without soul life. And so the select become physically alive. Now, in the selection process, quite a number of things occur, but we should note this. In order for any person to exercise his free will, he must first of all exist. In order for you to exercise your free will, you must first of all exist. And selection makes that possible. And what creates human life out of biological life is soul life. And part of soul life is free will. Every person who has ever lived, and you can name the lowest rat you can think of, if that person took one breath of this earth's air, he was selected by the God of this universe. God permitted that person to have a soul, created the soul, and imputed it to the biological life the mother cranked out there. Everyone that you can, the most despicable people you can imagine, were granted human life by God through the imputation of soul life. That means that He issued these individuals free will. Now, in order for any person to exercise his free will, he must first of all exist. Human life, therefore, is proof of divine selection. Life itself is an expression of grace. If you are alive, it is a grace contract by God. God allows you to be alive because He selected you. Now that's grace. And those who reject God, who blaspheme Him, have the privilege of doing so because they were issued their own free will. And from free will which God gave them, they use that free will to reject God, to blaspheme God, and to, in other ways, speak ill of the Creator of this universe. So life itself is the expression of grace. Therefore, we should note this. God never rejects anyone. Every unbeliever has used his God-given free will to reject both the grace of God and the love of God. They use free will, which God granted them through grace, and they take that grace gift and use it to reject both the grace of God and the love of God. Keep that in mind as you think of people who are in the news today, for example, that are being noted for doing horrendous things. They use their free will to make bad choices, and therefore they have blasphemed the grace of God as they reject the love of God. Now, they are free agents, and every agent shall be a free agent. At physical birth, you were selected for human life by the imputation of soul life, which contained as one of its attributes free will. This human volition is never coerced by God, which means that everyone is accountable for his own decisions. We are decision-making machines, and you must be held responsible for your decisions, as must the next person. God cannot be blamed. He gave all of us free will with the desire that we would use it to, first of all, believe in Christ as Savior. That secondly, we would use that free will to respond positively to the revelation of His truth and doctrine, and then with that accumulation of knowledge to apply it toward His glory and the furtherance of His kingdom. That's His desire. When we fail to do so, we act as free agents in doing so. We take the grace of God and His provisions and we misuse it to reject Him, His grace, His love, and His truth. God cannot be held responsible for this because it is in His plan that we all be free. We must be as free to reject His grace and His love as we are free to accept it. And therefore, when all is said and done, when human history is closed, God can look back over the whole affair and say that He accomplished His plan. For His plan in eternity past was to take all those who responded positively to the gospel and deliver them into an eternal future with Him. He has decreed that these things will occur, and therefore they will occur. Those who reject Christ as Savior have decided from their own volition not to play the game, not to participate, and thus from their own free will, they are going to be sentenced and incarcerated forever in the lake of fire. It was their own doing, it was their own choosing. God had nothing to do with it. He gave them free will with which they could have responded positively, not only to the gospel, but to the Word of God as well. So the first category here that has to do with every thought, decision, and action that you make is that you are an agent and you are a free agent. Number two, the antecedents of every act in question shall be what they are. The antecedents of every act in question shall be what they are. What is an antecedent? It applies to that which has preceded and may therefore be in some degree responsible for what follows. An antecedent applies to that which has preceded any given event. For example, a decision you make. And therefore the antecedent may be in some way, in some degree, responsible for what follows. Namely, your decision. What are the antecedents of your decision-making processes? What causes you to decide what you decide to do? Antecedents. The antecedents of every act in question shall be what they are. This is the playing out of cause and effect. There is a chain of events that occur in your life, and that chain of events has increments, sequences, and there is cause and effect related to each. Yesterday's decisions are the cause of tomorrow's choices. Today's choices are the cause of tomorrow's ramifications. Now let me give you an example. I've made the comment here that yesterday's decisions are the cause of today's choices. What were some of the decisions you made yesterday? We'll look at this first negatively and then positively. Yesterday, we'll say, and that could mean a period of time before today, you became angry towards someone. And that anger was left unresolved. And as a result of choosing not to resolve that anger, you then began to play with a chronic sin of bitterness. And you made choices regarding bitterness. You decided to develop hatred in your soul for the individual who offended you. And therefore, you chose to bear a grudge. And in bearing that grudge, you even contemplate revenge tactics in your soul. And in addition to your hatred, there is often malice of vituperations, which are oral sins directed toward your adversary. That's yesterday's decisions which caused today's choices. And so what were today's choices? You see, yesterday's decisions are antecedents to today's choices. For today, something may have occurred to ignite, through thumos anger, the billowing up of the flames of bitterness. And therefore, in your mind's eye, you begin to seek, because of reactor factors, revenge tactics. You seek to pursue these things and did so. And as a result of it, you became engaged in overt sins all the way to certain forms of vengeance. You bore a grudge and you sought vengeance. These decisions occurred today because of antecedents which occurred yesterday. Yesterday's decisions are the cause of today's choices. Today's choices are the cause of tomorrow's ramifications. And tomorrow's ramifications can be summed up in the concept of future options being limited. For example, if you move into violence, you may be arrested for assault and battery. If you take it far enough and murder the person, then you're in a court. Your rights are taken away from you. You're being tried for capital crimes. You're incarcerated or maybe even punished with capital punishment. That is the limiting of future options, and that is tomorrow's ramifications. Now, that gives you an idea of the negative aspect of this concept. The antecedents of every act in question shall be what they are. In other words, you can't deny the sequence of events that you became engaged in volitionally that led you to certain acts and decisions. Yesterday's decisions are the cause of today's choices. Today's choices are the cause of tomorrow's ramifications. Now let's say that yesterday you were offended by someone. And as a result of that act perpetrated by another person, you applied the royal law and, through personal love for God, chose to have unconditional love for this individual. You remained, as a result, positive volition to the Word of God, and you continued your spiritual growth under the ministry of a pastor teacher and the teaching and instructing ministries of the Holy Spirit. Because of a spirit of forgiveness, you were able to utilize the problem-solving devices that you knew. Those were decisions that you made yesterday, and they become antecedents for the act in question today. What are today's decisions? Today's decisions have to do with a mental attitude of reconciliation. You are at peace and harmony with your fellow believer. And because of that peace and harmony, you have transferred any problems that you've had in the past to the Supreme Court of Heaven. You now have soul tranquility and enjoy sharing with God His happiness. As a result of these mental attitude decisions, not to pursue justice, but to leave that in the hands of the Supreme Court, decisions not to track down your adversary through methods of vengeance, or to bear a grudge, or to become involved in mental attitude sins such as hatred and anger and bitterness, because those decisions are not a part of your thought process, but rather one of reconciliation, harmony, tranquility, and true plus H happiness, you have broadened your future options for tomorrow. You now are in line for divine blessings. These are ways in which antecedents are understood by God in eternity past for every act in question. And these antecedents shall be what they are. This is the playing out then of cause and effect. Yesterday's decisions are the cause of today's choices. Today's choices are the cause of tomorrow's ramifications. The third aspect of this particular idea and what we are noting is that in every case of free will acts on the part of any individual, the decree supplies and provides the following: that the agent shall be a free agent. The antecedents of every act in question shall be what they are. And three, all present conditions of the act shall be what they are. All present conditions of the act shall be what they are. In other words, facts are facts and you can't escape reality. What are the present conditions for our negative example? The present conditions are is that you didn't deal with a personal problem yesterday through biblical problem-solving devices, and today you have committed acts of violence as a result. The facts are the facts, and you can't escape the reality of what you've done. Therefore, God is not going to make reality go away. You can't be caught violating certain principles and standards and called to task for them and expect to say and get away with it and have everyone simply fold their tent and steal away into the night, dusting their hands and saying, well, it's all right now. You can't say, I didn't mean it. You can't say, I'm sorry. You can't say, everybody makes mistakes. You can't say, I'm just human. You can't say those things. Now, some that we do today, everyone excuses their bad behavior with excuses such as that. But that doesn't cut it. Not before the judgment bar of God. And not before the laws of divine establishment. Now, you are not permitted to take the actions of your adversary into your own hands through mental attitude decisions. But there are established ways of dealing with people who violate the law. And that is called human jurisprudence, the laws of divine establishment. And when an individual creates acts, thoughts, decisions, and actions that we've identified here in our example, that leads to violence motivated by a vengeful mental attitude, then they must stand before the judgment bar of man. And you can't say to the judge, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry, all of us make mistakes, I'm just human, and expect the judge to dismiss the case. Facts are facts, you can't escape reality, and God's not going to make the reality of what you've done go away. You made the choices that got you where you are, now you must therefore learn to deal with those decisions. And if they were bad ones, then hello reality. But God, you can't say, oh God, make this all go away. It's not going to happen. Now let's look at that positively. Facts are facts. You can't escape reality, and God is not going to make the reality go away. Some of you may think you don't have the capacity for a great deal of blessing. What if it occurs? What if it occurs because you made good decisions? You executed the royal law. You were motivated from personal love to have unconditional love for your fellow man, including your adversaries. What if you remain positive to Bible doctrine over an extended length of time? What if you do have a mental attitude of forgiveness, which includes the application of many of the problem-solving devices? What if today, in a mental attitude of reconciliation, harmony, tranquility, and sharing plus age, God sees that you have arrived at a place in your life to where He can show you great blessings? What if your future options are broadened? The facts are what they are. You can't escape reality. God will not make the reality go away. And there are those standing on the sideline that will be upset because of your blessings. But the facts are the facts. And the reality is the reality. And none of them go away. And God is in control. And it is His duty under His own integrity to bless those who pursue truth. And therefore, all of us must learn to deal with our own decisions. The fourth aspect, the act shall be perfectly spontaneous and free on the part of the agent. Perfectly spontaneous and free. There is no coercion or involvement by God in any way, in any part, and in any sense. There is no coercion or involvement by God in any way, in any part, or in any sense. You are a free agent. You make the choice from your own free will. As a result, all that is written from the prom chips of the computer of divine decrees shall be certainly future. There is no coercion or involvement by God in any way, in any part, or in any sense. You make the choice from your own free will. God writes your decision into your prom chip. He observed it. He recorded it. He did in no way dictate to you what to do. He in no way determined what you would do. As a result, all that is written into the prom chips of the computer of divine decrees, point five, shall be certainly future. All human decisions will definitely take place at a certain point in time, but each has been known by God from eternity past. All human decisions will definitely take place at a certain point in time, but each has been known by God from eternity past. Now, it's very much like playing a tape. Now, back many years ago when I was in the television business, you had a lot of things to do in order to put a program on the air. You had to format the thing, and you were given a certain amount of time to get the thing done. In television, at a certain hour, it's time to go. You don't come in 5 seconds late and say, well, it was traffic. You don't come in and say, well, what's 5 seconds? I mean, the people out in their living rooms with the TVs tuned, and they want their program on the hour. And so you have a sweep hand, and the sweep hand dictates. And let's just say that it's 7 o'clock coming up, and here comes the sweep hand. And when the sweep hand hits the 12, you better be there. And you have, let's say, an hour to get the thing done. Well, the break over here is going to be a minute and 10 seconds, so you've got 58:50 to get it done. And you've got a break down here that's going to be 45, and you can do the math. And as you move through here, each 30 minutes of programming is going to have 6 minutes of commercial time, and so that's 12 minutes per hour. And so you subtract all of these things out, and you find out how much time you've got to do your program, and it usually boils down to about 44 minutes. Then you decide what's going to go into your 44 minutes. And you begin to format this. And you have certain videotape inserts, certain interviews that are live. You have certain things that are done in the studio, certain things that are done remote. And you program how many minutes plus seconds each increment is going to receive. And then you format that. And then when you're done, you hit the break at the end of the hour, and you're over. And in the middle, you've got a 58-minute and 50-second program. Now, you can then take that tape and view that tape all the way to the end and log precisely what happens at any given minute and second along the way, and you can build a whole format and precisely give the timings of everything that occurs in that 1 hour program. Now, here's the reason I give you this illustration. We're finally there. When it comes to your decision making, and this is your sorry life here, you make decisions. Tons of them. I can't put them all up here on the board, but you make decisions day in and day out, over and over and over. And today's date, let's see if I can remember what it is. It's 5/13/99. And on 5/13/99, God knew in eternity past the given moments and seconds, right down to the millisecond of every decision you would make all day today. And he put that in the prom chip of the divine decrees. Your life is like a tape to God. In his view, your life was already lived in eternity past. And it was like playing a tape for him to go out into human history and take a look and see what was going to happen. Didn't catch him by surprise. His omniscience was able to perceive each event independently and chronologically and record that in the computer. And there is nothing among all these decisions in your life that escaped him. And as he looks at all of these decisions, he might say on May the 13th of 99, in eternity past, of course, back up and look at that particular date and say, pretty lousy day for old Fred there. But nevertheless, that's what his free will decided to do. And because my plan requires his volition to be free, I take all of this and insert it in his prom chip. Everything that is written into the prom chips of the computer shall be certainly future. It's like reading a tape. All human decisions will definitely take place at a certain point in time, but each has been known by God from eternity past. Point 8. Incidentally, these five principles disprove the false theology of hyper-Calvinism, which recognizes the sovereignty of God but ignores the free will of man. Now, under this particular false doctrine, and I'll only take a moment with this because we have noted it in the past, the idea is that in eternity past, the first thing that God did was to elect certain human beings for eternal life. That's the very first thing he did. He didn't create mankind. He didn't create the universe. Nothing happened before this. The very first thing that happened is he elected certain human beings for eternal life. And then he began to do other things. And then he created the universe. And then he created mankind. And then he allowed the fall. And then he provided salvation. And then he applied election to those he had already determined were going to be saved in eternity past. And the question that arises here is, where's human volition? Where is it? It's not there. Because they emphasize the sovereignty of Godship and ignore the free will of manship. This gets no credence. This does. God sovereignly decided in eternity past that a certain pre-selected few would be the elect. And everyone else, who are we? And I put we into that category because I simply don't subscribe to that doctrine. Reprobate. That's the official term. I remember my dad used to speak of people in our town. Live in a town as small as ours, you knew everyone. And everyone had a label. And with certain people, my dad viewed as reprobates. Fred Jones is a reprobate. Or you shouldn't expect any more from him. He's just a Jones. You can fill in the blanks for the surname in your neighborhood. Incidentally, then, these five principles disprove the false theory, not doctrine, the false theological theory of hyper-Calvinism, which recognizes the sovereignty of God but ignores the free will of man. 9. By the same token, these five principles will also serve to disprove the claims of those who are proponents of determinism, an idea we'll be noting probably on Sunday. We're now ready for the fourth paragraph, the printouts. Point 1. There are several printouts that we could examine, both for the believer and unbeliever, but for the moment we will only note foreknowledge. Point 2. Foreknowledge is not the same as omniscience. Now I know you say, well, we looked at this the other night. I know we're looking at it again tonight, because this is the important part of this that has to do with God's decision-making processes regarding the royal family in eternity past. Foreknowledge is not the same as omniscience. It is more limited because it deals only with that which is actual and then only with believers. The printout of foreknowledge deals only with believers and contains only what actually occurs in human history for those believers. Now, foreknowledge can cover many different areas, categories. The one that we more popularly reference is the printout for a list of believers who said yes to the gospel. And foreknowledge knew that in eternity past. And so, what is it that the hyper-Calvinists miss about this? They miss the fact that we made the choice in time to believe in Christ from our own free will. And they miss that because they understand that God's omniscience knew these things in eternity past, and it is from that knowledge that He elected us for eternal life. Therefore, they stress the sovereignty of God. God chose the elect in eternity past, therefore, human history is just an insignificant part of what goes on in the plan of God as far as human volition is concerned. All of it was determined in eternity past. He knew who the believers were, and all the rest are reprobate. Well, now, if you'll pause for a moment and think, that's true. If you don't analyze it any further, God knew who the believers were in eternity past. He knew who the unbelievers were. They are reprobate, and that's true. But how did He know this? How did He know who the believers were? And how did He know who the reprobate were? Because from His omniscience, He was able to determine in eternity past what would actually occur, the absolute reality of events that do occur in human history. In human history. And He was able to discern from a printout called foreknowledge who the believers would be. Who said yes to Christ? He decreed the decisions, and He therefore approved of it through foreknowledge. Foreknowledge gives a printout, and He says, yes, that's exactly the way the decisions were in time. Now, approve of the printout, that's exactly it. I have decreed the decisions, they're in the prom chip. I did not determine these things, I only observed them. And I guarantee them certainly future, and I develop a plan around it. My perfect plan for each and every believer. Now that observes human free will and doesn't ignore it. Foreknowledge then is not the same as omniscience. It is more limited because it deals with only the actual and then only with believers. 3. Foreknowledge refers only to those things which are within the decrees and are related to believers only. It's in the decrees, it relates to believers only. So, when there's a printout of any kind, you're on it. 4. A printout regarding foreknowledge, I should add. Point 4. The decree alone establishes certainty. Nothing can be foreknown until it is first decreed. So there can't be a printout showing that you responded positively to the gospel under foreknowledge if it's not in the prom chip. Now, one of the things that this illustration does for you is it shows that God is organized and that nothing slips through the cracks. Every decision is observed. See, we can go back to our 5 here. The agent shall be a free agent. That means that when you hear the gospel, that you, your human volition is uncoerced, and you are accountable for your decision after gospel hearing. Therefore, with your free will, you make a choice. The antecedents of every act in question shall be what they shall be. It is the playing out of cause and effect. And therefore, when you're at gospel hearing and you hear the gospel and you decide yes to it, that is the effect of a cause. What's the cause? Someone gave you the gospel. All present conditions of the act shall be what they are. Facts are facts. You can't escape reality. Some people say, I don't want to believe anymore. I don't want to be a Christian anymore. I don't want this. Facts are facts. You can't escape reality. They won't go away. You have eternal life. The act shall be perfectly spontaneous and free on the part of the agent. There was no coercion. There was only information. God did not determine that you would believe in Christ. He only gave you the information so that you could choose. And then He wrote that decision on your prom chip. And as a result, all that is written on the prom chip, including your faith in Christ, shall be certainly future. So that as you begin to live your life and you finally arrive at that day that the gospel is spoken to you in a clear and objective manner, you then respond to it positively. Does God have anything to do with that choice? Other than giving you accurate information, no. You made the choice. You are a free agent. God observed it in eternity past, and He decreed that it would be certainly future. In other words, Satan can't get into this system and muck it up in any way. Satan can't get into the computer and put in a virus. Satan can't identify from the foreknowledge printout who the believers are and then have a special program to go out and confuse them alone. Kill them ahead of time if necessary. Can't do it. It is decreed, certainly future. And the plan of God protects those who will believe until they get to that moment of salvation. And if ever there's any person who doesn't believe in Christ, but in your wild imagination, you cook up some scenario that he would have had he lived a little longer, you can just forget it. And if there's someone who did not hear the gospel because they couldn't comprehend it, they were too young, or they had mental damage in some way, any one of those scenarios you cook up, God is just, condemnation must precede justification, and if one cannot be justified because his free will is somehow impaired because he's a baby or because he has brain damage, then the justice of God under grace must save that individual. All of your excuses to find a loophole, therefore, are plugged. You can't get by this. God made it all certainly future. All human decisions will definitely take place at a certain point in time, and each has been known by God in eternity past. So the decree alone establishes what is certain, and nothing can be foreknown until it is first decreed. Point 5. God's decrees never originate from foreknowledge, but are determined by omniscience. It is omniscience that determines what is actual, as separated from that which is potential. God knows the things that could occur in human history, but do not. God also knows the absolute reality of events that do occur in human history, and those are the ones He decrees to be certainly future. And so God's decrees never originate from foreknowledge, but are determined by omniscience. 6. The decrees are therefore based on omniscience, while foreknowledge is based on the decree. And foreknowledge says this to us: God knew in eternity past that you would express positive volition at gospel hearing, and He knows who His sheep are and calls them by name, and developed a perfect plan for each one of them, and supplies logistical grace support for each one of them, keeps you alive all the way from physical birth to physical death. You will never lose your logistical supply because that is in the sovereignty of God chip. It's for every believer. And He didn't miss anybody. That's foreknowledge. So the divine decrees are based on omniscience, while foreknowledge is based on the decree. Therefore, 7, knowing that with our free will we would believe in Christ, foreknowledge allows God to elect us. Foreknowledge. God elects us because he foreknew us, because we were decreed. And the decrees come from omniscience, which observes human decision making in, at that point, eternity future. Knowing that with our free will we would believe in Christ, foreknowledge allows God to elect us. 8. The Greek word for election is eklektos. E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S, eklektos, which means chosen, selected, set apart for privilege, to gather up or to count. Its original meaning had to do with accounting, coming up with a number, getting a total or a tally. Well, if you can take a look at foreknowledge here, you can see that's how you get the total and the tally. How many people believed in Christ as Savior? The angel punches it in the computer and then hits the button over there and out comes the printout. Here are those who believed in Christ. God foreknows us in eternity past. What foreknowledge says is that God approves of what the decrees say. Yes, that's right. That's exactly what's in the prom chips. So we're chosen, we're selected, we're set apart for privilege. When this occurs, we are sanctified. When you have been set apart for special service, that's sanctification. So we've been set apart from all the other humans, the reprobate as they're known by some. In essence, 9, God read the printout and agreed that it was a correct accounting of those who would use their free will to believe in Christ. The books are balanced. The printout of foreknowledge agrees with the prom chip and the decree. And you can take the names listed on the printout of foreknowledge, and you can take the names that are listed in the prom chip, and you can scratch them off one at a time. It's an exact match. And God says, yes, that is correct. Foreknowledge, therefore, is where God gives his guarantee of approval on what foreknowledge says is in the decree. So God read the printout, agreed that it was a correct accounting of those who would use their free will to believe in Christ. 10. He then elected or chose those people for certain privileges and opportunities. They are unique for the church age believer. He then elected or chose those people for certain privileges and opportunities which are unique to the church age believer. For election, there is equal privilege and opportunity. For the elect, you are a member of a royal priesthood, and you are guaranteed logistical grace support. Election is a printout. We're not studying that at the moment, but election is a printout from the sovereignty of God chip. Election says that God looks over here in the prom chip and sees that all these decisions were made in human history by all of these individuals. And then he asked the question, I want to know who among all of these people were believers. Who said yes to Jesus? And so we get a printout called foreknowledge. And he says, yes, that's absolutely correct. That balances with what's in the prom chip. These are the elect. And you get a printout from the ROM chip, a printout of the elect. And what do these elect people have going for them that the reprobate do not? Well, they have equal privileges and opportunities. These elect are members of a royal priesthood. The reprobate are not. You can go directly to the throne of God in prayer. They can't. There is also logistical grace support. All of your needs from the moment you're born until the day you die are covered by the grace of God. They're in the decrees, and he's not going to go back and change things. The facts are the facts. you have your provisions guaranteed. Now see, if you're not getting the faith rest drill out of this and how this is a wonderful rationale to give you stability of thought, you're just not awake tonight. I told you this was not a very easy thing to do, what we're doing, but we're going to do it. We've done it before, we're doing it now, and we'll probably do it again someday. But this rationale reduces things down to where the goats can get it if you ever understand it. So we have equal privilege. And what is that? You're a member of a royal priesthood. You don't have to go to some specialized deal. There's none of these Port-a-John deals to have to crawl into. None of that. You just go straight to the throne room. You are your own royal priest. And then you have guaranteed logistical grace support. And these are the equal privileges and the equal opportunities of the elect. Now, what is it about logistical grace support that is so important? It says to you that you are an ambassador for Christ, and you therefore have all of the assets necessary to serve Him, and you don't have to worry about your provisions. If you are sent into battle by an army, by a commanding officer, a president, a king, or whatever, if you're sent into battle as a member of an army, there is a logistical supply line, and you may have certain things you take with you on the first day out, but a campaign could last for months and even years, and you don't worry about whether or not you can carry with you all the food and water you're going to need for the next 6 months to a year. It never crosses the soldier's mind that he would have to personally carry all that stuff along with him. It never crosses his mind that when his boots wear out, well, there'll be another pair. Or do I need to take 6 pair with me? Do I need to worry about beans and bullets here? Do I need to worry about my bullets? How about all this ordnance I'm going to need? What if my gun jams? What if it breaks or what have you? Do I need to take several weapons along with me? And do I need to take, a couple of cases of ammo? No. There's a logistical supply line, and as you need it, they dispense it to you up on the front lines, and you just do your duty. You fight the battle that you're assigned that day. You go out to the pre-assigned point, and you defend your 6 feet of turf. And you fight till the day is over, and then you rest and recoup and go at it again the next day. And behind the lines, the logistical supply train is there. And whenever you need something, up it comes. You relock, reload, and move out. And it never crosses your mind the logistical supply is not there. Now, if you want to destroy an army, cut their logistical supply line. That is what Grant did to Lee at Petersburg. Cut his supply lines. And he had to try to move south, and he tried to do so by heading west, but Grant got below him and tracked him underneath all the way over to Appomattox. And he just ran them dry. And finally at Appomattox, Lee said, let's go over here to the McLean house and talk this over. What brought it all to an end? Cut Lee's supply line. No logistics. Can't keep an army going without logistics. Cut his logistics. Appomattox was only a few days away and it was all over. Well, there you have it. Where is your logistics? They're in the decrees. God knew about all of your needs in eternity past. They have been provided as you need them day in and day out, and you need never worry that they're going to be there. Beans, bullets, boots, you name it. It's there in the decrees. That's your equal opportunity. Now, knowing this, you can go out and fight the battle every day without fear. Then there's the equal privilege and equal opportunity of your predestination, and that is the predetermined plan that God has constructed for you in the divine decrees. Predestination is another doctrine that has been distorted, and that is you're predestined to be the elect. Oh, that is not what it means at all. There is a predetermined plan for the believer in the divine decrees. It is a perfect plan designed for you. That's what that means, a predetermined plan. And what are the equal privileges and opportunities of that predetermined plan? Well, first of all, there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that places you into union with Jesus Christ. You, therefore, are citizens of a heavenly community, and you have a destiny in Christ. Your destiny is future, and it is eternal. And that's your equal privilege. All believers have that equal privilege to be baptized into Christ, citizens of a heavenly community, and a destiny sharing with Christ an eternal future. And what is your equal opportunity that comes with your predetermined plan? You have the four spiritual mechanics, and that's God's plan for your life right there. The predetermined plan, the four spiritual mechanics, all have equal opportunity to fulfill it utilizing the divine operating assets. Now there is equal privilege and equal opportunity in both election and predestination, both of which are printouts from the sovereignty of God chip. You're not ever going to cease being a royal priest. You will never lose your logistical supply line. You will always be in the top circle. That's eternal security. And you will always have the divine operating assets which enable you, through the execution of your positive volition, enabling you to fulfill the four spiritual mechanics, which is the equal opportunity of the predesigned plan. So he has elected and chosen certain people, those who believe in Christ, for certain privileges and opportunities. They are unique to the church age believer. Unique. No other dispensation has this. And no other believer in any dispensation has these kinds of assets available to them. Point 11. Through the verification of foreknowledge, God is able to declare who the elect are. Through the verification of foreknowledge, God is able to declare who the elect are. Now, he didn't elect from his omniscience. He didn't elect from the decree. He elected from foreknowledge. He knew who believers were and called them by name, and made a perfect plan for them, and elected them to privilege and opportunity, and predesigned a plan for them that included privilege and opportunity. And we are among them as we speak this evening. In point 12, we also should note that election is a function of the divine decrees, since our decision to believe in Christ is programmed into the prom chip. So it's a function of the divine decrees. Now the next category, the next paragraph, is to note that the ROM and PROM chips coexist, and that will be our subject for Sunday morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for your word and for the things it reveals to us about your immutable plan and your complete and total infinite thought. We're grateful to you for devising a system by which we can acquire this information into our finite minds, and that it might serve to be a source of comfort, encouragement, motivation, blessing for us as we seek to deal with all of the exigencies that confront us in the hostile and fallen environment of the devil's world. It is our prayer that you will comfort us with these things and thereby motivate us to continue our pursuit of truth. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.